How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Dark Side of Wikipedia. After a year of doing this show and you guys loving it, we've created a way to give you even more Dark Side content. How? By you becoming a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of the Dark Side of Wikipedia. When you become a Dark Sider, you get advanced access to our episodes months before they're released to the public. So if you want more to binge away on, this is the way to get it. In addition to the advanced episodes, you also get our archive of episodes, and all of it is commercial free. So if you like the show and you want to listen without the pesky commercials, become a Dark Sider. In addition to all of that, we're also now giving final chapters to all of our new episodes. That means you get to hear an extra chapter of the story and discussion, usually an extra 15, 20, 25 minutes of content for each episode that we're calling the final chapter, which is exclusively for Dark Sider members. The reality is, this show is not free for us to create. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money to put it together. So if you'd like to be part of the Dark Side of Wikipedia, support us and keep us on the air, and in exchange, get all of those extras, please become a Dark Sider. Do it by signing up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. It's only $5 a month, and you get access to everything I just talked about. Check it out today, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider, and help keep Dark Side of Wikipedia alive. A couple hell-bent on abusing their followers into blind submission to their twisted beliefs. This is the world of the Aggressive Christianity Missions Training Corp, led by James and Deborah Green. In its heyday, it would attract hundreds of followers and eventually fall to dust when their aggression went too far, leading to the death of a follower. This is the twisted story of Jim and Deborah Green on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
The Aggressive Christian Mission Training Corps, abbreviated ACMTC, also known as the Holy Tribal Nation, the Free Love Ministries, or the Life Force Team, is a militaristic Christian fundamentalist new religious movement. The ministry, founded in 1981 by James and Deborah Green, sometimes collectively referred to as the Generals. James is often called General James and sometimes Jim. Deborah is referred to as General Deborah, formerly Lila. Still retains its military structure, partially based on the original pattern of the Salvation Army. In 2018, its leaders were sentenced to prolonged prison terms on charges of sexual abuse. Moving from its starting location in Sacramento, California, it's now settled east of the rural town of Fence Lake in Cibola County, New Mexico, 60 miles south of Gallup. The organization has been classified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. In August of 2017, Deborah Green and her son-in-law, Peter Green, were arrested on charges of sexual abuse of children. Peter Green, a manager at the ministry's Fence Lake location, has been charged with 100 counts of criminal sexual penetration of a child, while Deborah Green faces charges of child abuse, neglect abuse, and criminal sexual penetration. Deborah Green's son, Joshua Green, was also arrested and charged with failure to register the birth of his son. Four other members of the ministry in New Mexico, Amos River, Victoria River, Ruth River, and Timothy River, were also arrested in August of 2017 on felony charges of failure to register the births of their 11 children. As of August 2017, the ACMTC is under investigation by the Children, Youth, and Families Department of New Mexico. In September 2018, Deborah Green was sentenced to 72 years in prison after being convicted of child rape, kidnapping, and child abuse. James Green pleaded no contest to child abuse charges in December of 2018 and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. So that's our introduction to these fine fellows, Jim and Deborah Green. And we're going to go into some more interesting facts and articles about them and dig deeper into their location and kind of their bizarre belief system. It's the Dark Side of Wikipedia. My name is Tony Bruschi. Sean is with us today. If you like our program and you want access to all of the advanced episodes, all commercial free, our final chapter segments, sign up to get it over at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Again, it's patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com. Click Become a Darksider and you'll get access there when you support the show at $5 a month and help keep us on the air. So I've been kind of in this cult kick lately. I've been watching a lot of documentaries on cults, and they're just so, as you know, I find them extremely fascinating of just how deeply strange they get and how wide of a net they're able to cast and have like branches here and branches there. And there's a lot of them that get like really militaristic with like uniforms and their rankings. It's like these people are almost playing cosplay, but with real weapons and real life consequences.
100, what is it? Sexual assault charges or something collectively?
I believe it was 100 or 1,000? It was high. And maybe it was 100.
I think it was 100. Now that's collectively throughout the entire run of this cult, or this is one person?
It's one person.
Holy hell! That's got to be some type of world record.
I don't know. I mean, I think we've had other people that we've talked about on the show who've beaten that disgusting mile marker.
What's very interesting in a cult from kind of the Mile High view is you have such a disdain and disgusting feeling, or basically lack of intelligence, of how people could be almost soldier-like and listening to this one person that is a con artist. But the flip side of it, and it's very interesting in 2020, really kind of shed some spotlight on it, is we as humans want to be a part of an entity, whether that is a good group of friends, a good family, colleagues, sit around the water cooler or stand around the water cooler and chat jokes in the morning. You want to feel included. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, even if you're a loner or you enjoy your alone time, over an amount of time, I feel silly even in saying it, but I don't see me being too much of a fool if I'm at that lonely of a point in life to join an organization that ultimately turns into a cult. I'd like to think that I wouldn't be brainwashed and to do some of the sick sadistic things, but I wouldn't. It's above a 0% chance of me ever becoming a part of a cult, and ultimately, holy shit, it turns into this entirely crazy operation. But I just think it's more of a wanting to be included.
Well, and the thing is, it depends on the cult too, because some, I get how people can get sucked into it, that are otherwise very balanced individuals, where it's like, oh, a lot of them start with kind of like self-help things, and this is going to be positive for you here and there, and you don't really realize, you know, how deep this is going to go. Scientology kind of being one of them. I mean, now that everyone knows a lot of unless you're living under a rock, you really, it's hard to not, you know more of the deeper picture there. But prior to that, they come across on the surface, and your first many, 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 many interactions with them, very positive, very self-helpy, very caring, and then it gets fucking weird. But there's many like these guys where right off the bat, you walk into this place, they are fucking militaristic as hell. And you usually have one family member in the many cases here, where it's like, well, my mom or my dad really just thought this is the only way. And then the whole family gets dragged into it. And most of the people are not really, they're little kids. The spouse is very passive and they're just, okay, you know, whatever. And then it turns into, well, I'm not going to leave, you know, leave my kids here with this crazy parent and these crazy people. So you stick around. And so I see how people get trapped into it in many ways. I guess it's more so what I get so intrigued by is the one who said this is a great idea. Not the ones who get entrapped because they're children or because they're a codependent spouse or things of that nature. It's the one that said, yeah, these people seem to know their shit. You know, they claim they're the new Messiah and they're wearing, you know, these lovely fatigues that they put together with some scraps of fabric they got in the discount rack at Joanne Fabrics. It's bizarre to me that someone could just do that when it's so raw. And it's like, look, we're everything that a cult represents right from day one. And you know it. Unless these people just, you know, they don't get at all what a cult is. And there's plenty of that out there, too. There's some other interesting points I want to talk about, especially with the extreme fundamentalist views. And there's such harsh view of the bad people in the world. Yet they are the people who end up practicing some of the worst things in the world. We'll talk about that in a little bit. First, let's continue in with another article on this group. Aggressive Christian Missions Training Corps. This is from the 1987 informative paper, Apologistics Resource Center. Aggressive Christianity began in 1981. It was known as the Free Love Ministries. Jim and Lila Green are the founders and heads of the organization. Their training center is located on 222 X Street in downtown Sacramento, California. Most of the people who belong to this group live in the training center. This, of course, was written when it was active. The communal type of arrangement consists of several adjacent houses, which the group purchased and renovated with funds partially, if not primarily, acquired from three art shops, which are staffed and run by people from within the group. Living conditions have been often fairly crowded and lacking in personal privacy. Several of the houses are even marked off with barrack signs, which can be clearly seen from the street. This is in keeping with the group's use of military uniforms and ranks. Jim and Lila Green started out as colonels that are now considered brigadier generals by their converts. From the outset, Jim Green espoused two clearly unbiblical teachings. One teaching was a belief that Christians could have demons living inside of them. This teaching, along with their highly visibly deliverance ministry, continues to be one of the main thrusts of their group. They base this teaching on several unique misinterpretations of Scripture. One concerns Genesis 3:14. They believe that when God told Satan, "On your belly shall you go and dust shall you eat," that the word dust meant mankind. In other words, man would become the proper food of Satan. The teaching that Christians can have demons in them is based squarely on Jim Green's heretical concept of human nature. In essence, he believes that man has no real nature of his own. According to this teaching, man possesses whether God's nature or Satan's, and while he does write about man's nature in Son of Dominion, Beast Inside, a pamphlet, he elsewhere excludes any specifically human nature. For example, in a letter, Jim Green writes, "It is demons that carry out Satan's work. Man is merely a vessel for which demons to work through. Men are used to express the works of Satan and God." This is explained more plainly in Son of Dominion, Curses of the Living Dead, another pamphlet he wrote. Through their disobedience, Adam and Eve, they accepted Satan's will and nature of death. Thus, in this false teaching, man is an empty vessel, either filled with demons or filled with God. Therefore, any sin a Christian is committed would have to be blamed on demons instead of the fallen, sinful nature of man. Chapter 7 of Romans is completely ignored, as well as many other important passages. The second unbiblical teaching the group started was the Manifest Sons of God teaching, also known as Dominion or Kingdom Now. As a result of this teaching, people committed to aggressive Christianity are encouraged to become part of the Man-Child Company, or the Overcomers. Like many other groups involved in this teaching, they believe that an elite group of people will move out of the church and overcome the enemies of Christ, including even death itself. This elite group will reach a point of sinless perfection through their total commitment to God, and they will function as a literal expression or extension of Christ on earth. This will include as yet unheard of miraculous power, as well as acts of judgment, such as calling down fire on God's enemies, who generally turn out to be those against the group. Consistent with their adherence to the manifest Sons of God teaching, they also told a somewhat agnostic belief in their separate levels of Christianity. That is, they are a 30-fold Christian, 60-fold Christians, and 100-fold Christians, or alternatively, as one longtime member explained it, the 30-fold Christians are those who are merely saved, 60-fold Christians are those who speak in tongues and have baptism of the Holy Spirit, while 100-fold Christians are the overcomers, the manifest sons of God, and only those in this elite group are considered to be sons of God and the bride of Christ. Thus, the two distinctive and foundational teachings on which the group bases its ministry end up demolishing the free gift of God's grace to sinners and resulting in works, bondage, and spiritual pride. The first of these teachings denies the finished work of Christ is sending God the Holy Spirit to dwell in every born-again believer. The second not only denies the unique person of Christ and even the nature of God by confusing or fusing the creature with the Creator, but is also denies the biblical teaching of salvation. For those is only one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one common salvation. It is the gift of salvation plus nothing else which makes every born-again believer a son, an heir, and an overcomer, they say. For a while, the Greens and their followers were also very interested in the ministry of Franklin Hall, another manifest Sons of God teacher, with many bizarre ideas, including some that are pantheistic. The Greens were especially interested in the fasts he encouraged, although they were already involved in long periods of fasting. Franklin Hall promotes some fasts lasting over 40 days. Both Lila Green and Mike Brandon of Aggressive Christianity wrote letters to Franklin Hall praising his work. Lila Green, for example, wrote, "We have just completed a 20-day without any food water fast and feel absolutely wonderful. We have all really benefited from the writings that you produce." And Mike Brandon writes, "I just received your booklet, Atomic Power with God Through Prayer and Fasting, and I must say this brings confirmation concerning the subject of fasting and prayer. Since my pastor received your book, our entire attitude towards fasting has changed. I leave for the Philippines to share the message of the man-child, God's army, who by fasting and prayer are going to move into the new realm of body-felt salvation." Jim Green also teaches as new revelations many doctrines which he has picked up from teachers such as Franklin Hall. Several other teachings, both agnostic and strange, have appeared over the years of Jim and Lila Green's ministry. Although Aggressive Christianity publishes study booklets which appear to be orthodox in their teachings, in a statement of faith which also appears orthodox, Brigadier General Green has not retracted any of his earlier false statements about the Trinity. On one tape, for instance, he states, "They saw the man Jesus walk up and they saw Christ come out of that body and stand before them in all his radiance. They saw Christ for the first time. In all other times, they saw the man Jesus that walked with them down the shores of Galilee and wore a robe and sandals and got tired and ate food just like they did. But I tell you, things changed and they ascended upon that high mountain. They saw God revealed. They pulled back the fleshy man of Jesus and Christ, that anointed one. That shining brightness stood out and they saw him." In this teaching, the person of Christ is torn apart, or as in earlier teachings, Jesus the man just becomes a vessel for Christ. This is an ancient heresy, one at least as old as the warning in John 2:22. On another tape, his comments on the importance of the Trinity, a very basic biblical teaching about the nature of God, are very revealing. So long God's people have been fighting over doctrine. Will I believe God is one? And the other side, will I believe God is three? There's a great big battle going on. They're just killing one and another left and right because they think God is one or three. You know, I don't care if God is one, three, 16, or 20. God is still God and God has a call for us. What difference does it make if he's one or if he's three? Let's just worship and praise him and serve him. Apart from the growing number of theological errors, Aggressive Christianity has long possessed cultic sociological traits. That is, their treatment of members of the characteristic of a cult. For several years, they've isolated their members from friends and families. Their members work long hours and are encouraged to participate in unusually long fasts and are cut off from society in general. They are told
that most other Christian churches are compromising or are part of Babylon. Most members feel that they leave this group or disobey its teachings would expose them to being demon-possessed or would, of course, eliminate their chances of being part of the overcomers. In fact, many feel that to leave would be securing their place and their soul in the dangers of hell. So they do a lot of stuff to make you feel really shitty, essentially. What I don't get about any of this when it comes to joining various religious organizations, and I'm not anti-religion in places where they're not fucking kids and hurting people. It's more so, where do you draw the line here when the leaders start saying, I got these messages directly from God, and now I'm a prophet, and whatever I say must be true, because that seems to be the only way they can kind of get people to do some of the more extreme things, because there's not really necessarily the verbiage in the Bible or whatever they may be using to get people to do some of the crazy shit. So what do? You make your own little cliff notes or Mad Libs of the Bible, and you say, well, I got the message myself. It must be true. And you've deprived these people of food. You've deprived these people of outside contact. I guess eventually you get so broken down when Jim or Lila makes shit up and says, it's from God. You're like, shit, that's great. Can I have a hot dog now? If you say you believe, yes, great. Here you go. Here's a Nathan's. Have a good day. I think that's probably part of how they deal with this shit.
So, you know, when you go to teaching school and they ask you, so what subject do you want to teach? And there's English and geometry and physics and science. And you are so not a math person, so you teach English. Geometry, algebra, that is a foreign language to you. Mm-hmm. This would be a situation where this is a foreign language to me. There is not even any comprehension. This is so far out there that... Kool-Aid would need to be made for me to drink it to even understand the layers of cluster fuckness that is transpiring.
I was just getting so confused just reading that of here's what some believe and then here's what they say. And this, it's like, how do you, it's you just twist and twist and twist something that is already very difficult to understand and is completely open to interpretation. And has been interpreted many, many ways through many different governments, through many different languages over the years. So you're already getting a somewhat already watered down version through whatever interpretation you're reading it out of. And then you're going to put your own twist on it, too. And then to say what I came up with here in Arizona in 19 whatever, that's the way. That's it. Let's hit up Joanne Fabrics and do they have one of those Halloween costumes that looks like Kim Jong-un? Yeah, get me one of those. And let's do a different color, though. Let's make it a little more exotic. Yeah, that'd be great. That's it's just so bizarre to me. Another thing I don't understand is they have such harsh beliefs, such strong, I guess, convictions, you could say. At least that's what they seem to present as, like, it's our way or no way, and everything is for God, and we're going to be so strict. And okay, if that's, you're going to be super duper hardcore, okay, great. But, and then they look at the outside world as, you know, people are demons and people are possessed, yet they're fucking kids. Where does that enter the lexicon of, like, that's okay? That is, like, this is an okay thing to do. When I would, because if you're really hardcore on anything, if you're really hardcore on, like, your health, for example, like fitness and eating right, you're going to be super hardcore on that. And then if you're suddenly like, okay, I'm super hardcore on it, and I believe in my diet, and I can only eat this and that, and I don't want to put bad things into my body, but every single day you're having like 8 Big Macs, like, then you're not super hardcore on your health if that's part of your mix of your diet. So how can you, in one sentence and to the rest of the world, be like, I'm doing this, and I totally believe in that, and people who are eating that other shit are horrible people. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'll take a number one. Actually, give me 8 number ones and a Diet Cokes on all of them, please. Okay, what was that? That's what we're kind of talking about here, but in a much more fucked up sense of what they represent and how they live their lives.
I am baffled. There are people that it's a whole lot easier to talk opposed to walk the walk. So it's a situation where it is so many layers of absolute what the fuckness.
Yeah.
That again, man, there's not many things that I don't have a view on or a take on, but this is next level. I'm gonna go, hey, we're having this recruiting meeting tonight. Would you like to be a part? I'm good. I'm just gonna keep on down the road, but you enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. I think at some point the only explanation is mental illness, disorders, because there isn't a whole lot of sense to be made of any of what the fuck they're doing. Let's continue into the story. As a result of their deliverance ministry, aggressive Christianity has returned to something akin to paganism by attempting to placate the demons they believe inhabit every object and person. Here we have a clear example of a false theological doctrine, namely that born-again Christian can have demons in them, which has led to isolation as well as great mental and emotional damage. People in the group are in bondage to the fear of demons, turning away both objects, such as letters sent to them in the mail, and other people in order to prevent themselves from being demon-possessed. Added to this paranoia is a new trend in which members actually change their names. This practice apparently symbolizes their new identities in the group and their total reunification of their past, while at the same time serving to further isolate them from their family members and friends by making contact virtually impossible. Including in this return to a more pagan worldview are several occultic ideas. One is the unbiblical idea of the soul tie, and the group collects and distributes long lists of them. A soul tie is any strong connection members may have with the people or objects which they are told must be broken in order to be free from demons and to truly follow Christ. Other occultic ideas are highlighted by the fact that aggressive Christianity provides information on how to send curses back on those who send them. But whether one is sending or returning curses, scripturally, the direction is irrelevant. It is the whole process which is occultic. The group is led a great deal by numerous prophecies given by Jim and Lila Green. Recently, the effort of this prophetic leading has been to further tear apart families, this time within their own training camp. At least three families have been destroyed by revelations to the effect that three of the women were putting their families above God. Therefore, the women were separated from their families. They were given terrible names such as forsaken and barren. Their children were expected to treat them as non-existent, and their husbands felt they must divorce them, which in fact two did. The women were given hard labor to perform, such as hauling heavy rocks in a wheelbarrow and sawing wood. One woman's husband would wake her at 3 o'clock in the morning so she could wash the group's vans. They were kept in a small shed without windows or heat, and sometimes they were confined there for up to 3 days. For several months, there was no way they could bathe or shower. They were fed peanut butter sandwiches or stale bread. The Greens told members of the group not to have any compassion on one of these women because Jesus did not have compassion for her. This woman was eventually cast out of the group and told she was going to hell. Ironically, those who consider themselves the most committed of Christians, the Greens and other leaders of aggressive Christianity, have become tormentors and persecutors of those who, after coming out of the group, have remained faithful to Christ and his teachings. It's interesting to know Christ's own words to his disciples. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but as hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God, and these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. So, yeah, interesting stuff. We're going to go into an article in just a moment where a mom wants her son's remains after the church camp martyrdom and how fucked up things got within the group. In just a bit. Yes, remains is what I said, because yes, they were, I guess, you know, doing something, beating a demon out. I don't know what the fuck they thought they were doing, but it got rather dark.
I can't wait.
Are you without words?
Again, this whole, I'm accustomed to murderers and crime scenes and police tape. This would be more of an alt subcategory of Dark Side of Wikipedia that I'm just enjoying the show.
This is all that, but then you mix with, but it's fueled by fucked up religious belief.
You know, there are some topics similar to politics that if you don't have, it's not even if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. If you have no fucking clue what you're talking about, don't say anything at all.
Sure, I get you.
And I quite honestly don't know what I'm talking about.
You got to watch more about cults. They'll just suck you right in.
Hey, you're on the cult kick, man. I got to get on the cult kick.
The cult kick, it's great. It's great. It is great viewing. If you just want to sit back and kind of mindlessly watch people and feel good about yourself, you like watch the fucking cult shows.
I just got done going down the rabbit hole of game shows circa 1992 to 1998. You were doing the cult kick. So if you want to talk about Funhouse and Win, Lose, or Draw and Hollywood Squares, oh, I am on it. I am ready to roll. You want to talk about cults? I'll get back to you Thursday.
I wonder if wouldn't it be great if it turned out that like, one of the
they're old connected.
Yes.
The one-time game show hosts are now cult leaders. That and your 8-day forecast coming up.
That would be hilarious. Like, it turns out that, like, Mark Summers was running a cult, you know, based on slime.
Don't crush my childhood, man. Don't crush my childhood. Mark Summers could be my dad. Mark Summers could be my uncle, you know, the non-creepy uncle that you actually want to hang out with.
Sure.
Don't make me. Yeah, I don't want to see when he did that. What show was it on the? Was it Food Network?
Yeah.
Or How It's Made, the Discovery. Anyways, what a fascinating fella. I don't want to think that he was up to no good.
How It's Made, Mark Summers. Yeah.
There you go.
That was a good. It was interesting. My aunt was one of the people in the background. My aunt Chris. Who you know, she was
in Colorado.
Yep, in one of the booths in the back on one of those episodes of How It's Made or whatever.
Did they say, okay, act really excited or really happy when Mark tells you the main ingredients and you overhear it from a booth far away?
They had to pretend they were just like talking and really enjoying their time in the booth the whole time. And because I think he lives out there and I think they filmed it in Denver. So she was just one of those like, hey, who wants to be a cast? And she's like, this should be fun. I like that show. I had Mark on my show back in that time period. It was like early 2000s. And I got to talk to him about all my love of Double Dare and how I would play Double Dare with my cat in the backyard because I had no brothers or sisters. And it was a fun conversation.
You being able to talk to Mark Summers of a TV show that he hosted and your absolute love. There's somebody else listening to this right now that is having a yearning for joining a cult and or being the next leader of an even more fucked up operation that they will love equally to your interview with Mark Summers. And to that person, I mean, you're pretty fucked up, man. But good luck on your venture.
I wonder if I have that interview readily available. I don't know.
And if you do, well, that's even more impressive.
Because I never delete anything in my archive of stuff. Let me go to my Google Drive real quick and see if I can find it before we move into our next part. Somehow we ended up talking about Mark Summers while talking about cults, because that's the next logical thing on this show.
So those of you that have said, boy, Tony and Sean, they really go random. Yep, this is your proof.
Mark. Yeah, it's not popping up in a search result. Anyway, I'll try and find it at some point. But yeah, it was an interesting one. He was like promoting, I think, like the next Food Network star or something back then. Anyway, in our next chapter, we're going to dig even deeper into this crazy camp of Jim.
How can we get even deeper?
Well, we're going to talk about how someone died within their care. So it goes deeper. And we'll find out just how dark it gets in the final chapter. If you want to hear that, become a Dark Sider, that's a supporter of the program, go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. $5 a month will get you access to all of our advanced episodes. Plenty more you can binge away on. Literally months worth, just many, many, many episodes right there for you. All commercial free. all our final chapters. It's all there. That's how we keep this show supported and on the air. So if you like it, please do consider signing up and becoming a Darksider. Sean and myself will see you on the final chapter of the Jim and Deborah Green story, patreon.com/darkside of Wikipedia.